UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
All right, Ryan is McMahon apparently walking to the podium. So V-Show will return reacting to the U of L basketball sound. For now, we thank you for listening. Don't drive slowly in the left lane. Louisville coverage continues on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
The last few minutes of the game on Saturday, but letting that 16-point lead slip, what do you think caused that?
I don't know. Maybe we just didn't come out with the same focus on the defensive end in the second half. I thought we were getting great looks on the offensive end. We just weren't knocking them down. I think our only point in that first four-minute war was a free throw by Darius. I think he went 1-for-2. But that's when we got to really dial in on defense, is when we're not playing well necessarily offensively. And that's when we got to dig our feet into the ground and be even tougher defensively. So, you know, what caused it? I mean, Notre Dame is an electric team when it comes to the offensive end, and they started making some shots. So when they're shooting threes and making threes like they did in that little span, they're a tough team.
You have spent most of your career here coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. Now, after 12 games or however many, you're coming off the bench again. Was there any kind of adjustment, and do you have to change your approach a little bit, or how do you work through that?
No, not really. It's a little bit of an advantage because I get to see what the other team is doing, what they're doing defensively, what they're doing offensively to try to exploit our defense or our offense. And when I get in the game, I get to try to combat that or correct it. So it's much easier to see the game from the sideline than it is when you're actually on the court. Sometimes it's hard to see the entire floor just because you're focused on your man or your assignment at that particular time. So
mentally, it wasn't hard to make the transition back or not?
No, like you said, I've been coming off the bench for 3 years, so it wasn't too difficult.
Played, I think, 36 minutes against Pitt last time. It's got to be a little easier to play fewer minutes than that, get a little mm-hmm. more rest.
Yeah, definitely. Advantage. Yeah, I think that was coach's main point by taking me out of the starting lineup, was just to become a deeper team at the guard position. He doesn't have to wait so long to get fresh in and then wait even longer to get DJ in. He can just kind of put me and DJ in together, you know, and get fresh and Darius and all of us rotating at a quicker rate. And that'll make us a better team in the long run. And that's why DJ and I have been pretty much playing together every day in practice, because he knows we're going to be coming off the bench together.
Do you like what you've seen out of DJ so far? Have you been playing well lately?
Definitely. I mean, you know, he makes those freshman mistakes every once in a while, but none of us are perfect. Even the upperclassmen make mistakes every once in a while. So he does things that us other guards can't really do because of his height and his athleticism and his length. So his playmaking ability is one of the best on the team. So more and more he continues to get reps, game reps, and just game experience, the better and better he's going to be for our team.
It's one game at a time, you guys say, but you're going against a team you beat fairly handily here, and you've got the yeah. big game coming up Saturday. Is yeah. it difficult not to kind of think?
I don't think it's that difficult, because last time we went to Pitt, they beat us. You know, we know they're a really good team. They have some really electric guards. So, you know, we're not going up there and expecting some easy win. We know it's going to be a fight. We know it's going to be loud in there. They've changed the coach over there. Has changed the culture. So we know it's not going to be an easy 40-point dub like it might have been a few years ago.
Do
Now, you had a stretch there. Second time, like now, do you automatically remember things, or do you have to kind of go over video and just kind of get say, oh, yeah, now?
Yeah, I mean, we briefly go over their plays, and then as they're going over them, we're all kind of like, all right, yeah, I remember that. I remember how we guarded that. We got to look out for that on that play. And just me being me, I'll probably watch three of their more recent games just so I can get a feel of how they're playing now more recently than the last time we played them. So I like watching a lot of film. So shout out to Ty for always sending me games.
Ryan, you went through a stretch there where it was difficult to have shots go down. The end of the Miami game, the Notre Dame game, things have changed. Was there anything different, or sometimes the ball drops and sometimes it doesn't?
No, I don't think anything has changed. I feel like I've been shooting the ball really well in practice. So I haven't been able to knock those shots down in the game for whatever reason. Maybe I'm getting pushed out further than I realize. Maybe I'm rushing my shot. I don't know really what it is, but I feel like very confident in the way I've been shooting the ball recently just because of how I've been shooting it in practice. But and that's why my teammates, I mean, they have so much confidence in me, and so does the coaching staff, so they do whatever they can to get me some good looks.
Your scoring is picked up since the ACC got underway, you know, the main part of the schedule. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on why that would be?
No, I don't know. Has it picked up?
Yeah, you're a little bit ahead of what you were. You don't have the average as big as second leading scorer now in the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, it's not a huge.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really know. I feel like, you know, just kind of how the season flows, and I love playing against great competition, and we have some of the best competition in the country. So.
Will you go back and watch? You were talking about watching film. Will you go back and watch the first Pitt game at all yourself?
Yeah. So I'll probably watch the first Pitt game. Our pick game from last year, and a couple of the big wins they've had recently, maybe the win they had at home against Florida State, and then another win that they had on the road, probably at North Carolina. Probably those four games within the next 24 hours. No, you're good.
You mentioned the great competition. It's almost unanimous that the ACC is down this year. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few teams that I feel like are going through some injury struggles. I look at a team like Miami, they only traveled with 9 guys here. You know, you looked at their bench, they had more suits than they had guys, you know, in uniforms. So, and then there's teams like North Carolina that are going through some struggles with injuries, but regardless, I think top to bottom, we're still a really, really strong conference. You can't go into any gym, into any game lightheartedly without thinking that you can lose that game, because there's a lot of talent in this league, and especially if you're on the road. I mean, there's a lot of good teams in this league, a lot of good coaches. So I know the ACC might not be as strong maybe as years in the past, especially since I've been here, but I still think it's a really tough league.
You had those 2 real good drives the other day when they came right to the closeouts. Did I hear you say that a couple of their guys said something to you about when did you become a driver?
Yeah, my buddy Rex was like, since when did you start shooting layups or something like that? Rex is a good guy. He's been through some stuff the last year or so and all the injuries he's had, but I've known him since the Kentucky Derby Classic and the Capital Classic that I played in my senior year in high school, so we've become pretty good friends. And he was just, you know, giving me some crap for making some layups on their team.
Do you think he was playing with Fender a little better now that they've seen that from you?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe it'll make guys play me a little more honestly and maybe free up some open shots. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, try to take what the defense gives me and just go with it, but my teammates have done an incredible job of just looking for me. I know even with Dwayne the other day, after I hit my first shot, he said, make sure you run in transition. I'll be looking for you. And if I don't have the ball, I'll come set you a screen. Like, you know, that's not many guys are willing to do that. But that's just the kind of guy Dwayne is and a lot of my teammates are.
Do conference opponents defend you differently or more intensely than non-conference since they know you so well?
Excuse me, say that again.
So do conference opponents defend you differently or maybe more intensely since they know you so well?
I think it's no surprise or, you know, anything that the other team knows that I'm a shooter and they want to run me off the line and try to make me do other things other than shoot the ball. So I don't think I've seen much of a difference in terms of how they've defended me. There's a little bit more length, a little bit more athleticism when they guard me. But in terms of their overall plan, it's been pretty similar throughout the whole year.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Dial into this.
Am I supposed to point to you now? Are you sure I'm supposed to come to you now? What the hell was that? You're on.
I'm on. We're on.
I kind of want to keep this potted up.
What was that? We had a buzz. We had a dial tone.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
That Chris Matt. What? Hey, we don't need that. Well, you want to see who they're going to get on the phone?
An operator will be with you momentarily.
Are they calling Chris?
It's a conference call. It's for people. People have a conference call code, a CCC, and they can log in and listen on their telephone or on the internet web.
Oh wow! I was watching the video feed, and it was.
Okay,
I love the song. It was Kenny Klein making the phone numbers. And then the feed went when they turned the feed off on the Facebook page.
Very nice. Chris Mack.
We like to show people how the sausage is.
Except when it's not really entertaining. It's like when you got a very, very nice and capable SID pushing buttons on a telephone.
Kenny Klein's the best in the business.
Yeah, but
people
really,
just heard art.
Not really, you know. It's like Robert De Niro's group, but if he's pushing buttons on a telephone, people are not going to really be compelled.
Says I don't you. Think.
The Chris Mack press conference and its related things are brought to you by Class Act Federal Credit Union. It's like straight A's for your money. And now we go to the newsroom where Nick Michaels will tell you how you might be able to get yourself a gifts card.
Thank you, Bob. Text ESPN to 502-212-3167 for a chance to win weekly Visa gift cards. Back to you.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate that very much. Text line's already in a cranky mood on a Monday. And the logic is flowing like when you had in high school when you had that terrible, terrible blackhead and it could finally make it come to a head and just you got it perfectly squeezed and it just was that you could almost hear the audible and all the ooze came out. That's kind of what we've got, people.
On the mirror and stuff? Good times.
Because people have agendo. They have agendo. That's my plural for agendas. It doesn't make sense. Not right, but they have agendo. And I'm just going to be candid, and nobody's going to give a rat's ass, which is fine, but we're just waiting for Chris to get there. It's negative. I've really got to block all of this out. The two hats that I wear, I'm not because they're being critical of me, mind you. I mean, they are, don't get me wrong, but I mean, that's not what I'm talking about here. It is, I watch the games, and unfortunately, instead of watching and just trying to analyze the game for the people who are doing that, which is what you should be doing, I'm constantly weighing in my mind, how is this going to play out with the zit poppers on Monday? Because they're going to want to comment on it. And it's just crazy. It's just, it ruins watching the game because it's a great game. I've thought about that. We're going to get into that a little bit later in the show. So it's not, I'm not berating Louisville fans. It's in general. This is a year where the ACC is not probably top to bottom as strong as they've been other years. Oh, well. That's the way it goes. Some years you're better than others. Not every year is exactly the same. But if you are looking for interesting games, you're probably going to have more interesting games this year than you would on an average year in the ACC. Because in the average year in the ACC, you'd probably have 4 to 5 teams that have really separated themselves, 3 teams that are way behind, and then everybody else in the middle. And it's the everybody else in the middle games that generally create the interesting results. Even if you say, well, it's just the 8th place team versus the 9th place team. Yeah, but if you're talking about entertaining, close, competitive games, if you had one of those top 5 teams against one of the 3 at the bottom, these were blowouts. And more often than not, they were, especially when those top 5 teams were playing at home, they were blowouts as well. Who exactly are you going to eliminate from any conversation now in this league? You know, the traditional haves ain't so heavy this year. And so basically the best teams of the bunch look like Louisville, Florida State, and Duke. Virginia just lost at home to a not very good Syracuse team.
North Carolina lost at home to Clemson for the first time since Andrew Jackson was president. And you've got all the other teams. Nobody is horrendous, and nobody's great. So you don't have those teams lagging way behind at the bottom, but you also don't have a bunch of teams with great separation at the top. And even the ones at the top, there's not a lot of separation. So I just think, why not just enjoy the journey? Why not just watch it and enjoy it? No, it's just got to be. Let me point out all the things it's not. It is not the AFC East. They've not landed anybody on the moon. They haven't given us a good recipe for vegetable soup. There's a whole bunch of crap they haven't done, and I don't understand why we just fixate on that. It's it's a good level. It's still the fourth best league in the country. Ooh, that's terrible. Fourth. And the games are going to be competitive, in all likelihood, more often than they're not. Enjoy the journey. Also, we are so, people are so hell-bent to have their narrative play out, they must lose sight of who they're rooting for. I mean, if you, people want to absolutely spit on the guards, and Ryan gets a good crux of it. Guy texts me, I don't even want to read this because I think it's a stupid text, but it's, was this a Bellarmine press conference? That's who he should be playing for. The kid just scored 17 points. What did he score? How many did he score against Notre Dame? Do you have 17? Is that what he had? I think he had 17. He played a terrific game. They won on the road in the ACC, but I'm sure you think he sucks. So rather than give him credit, you find reasons to denigrate it. Did he give me a vegetable soup recipe? No. Did he buy me a beer? No. Did he make a car payment fee? Never. He sucks. Okay, I mean, so what are you talking about? He's not great. We figured it out, folks. He didn't wake up today and say, oh, my piss. We called a press conference. Ladies and gentlemen, click, 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 click. We've called a press conference today because Ryan McMahon woke up today, and for some inexplicable reason, he's 6'8". I don't know how the hell that happened, but Ryan, would you like to come out and talk? Watch your head. Watch your head, Ryan. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not that used to being this tall. He's what he is. He's a small, not especially athletic guard who's worked extremely hard to get better defensively. And if you understand the game, this is the only time I sound condescending because it irritates me. He brings them a great and valuable asset that if you wanted to break the game down, you would understand that's why Chris needs him on the floor. Fresh, not a three-point shooting threat. Darius, not a consistent three-point shooting threat. David, not really a three-point shooting threat. Who's going to spread the defense if he's not on the floor exactly, in your opinion? So he's out there. At the very least, against the most athletic guards in the country, the guys that you like to point out that he can't score against, he still is going to have to be guarded by that guy. And so he's going to take that guy out of the scoring area, or as UB likes to call it, the painted area, and he's going to open up driving areas for Sutton. He's going to open up driving areas for Jordan. State your business. I don't give a damn your management. State your business. What the hell is he doing in here? Why is he
He's hanging
here?
Up the new sponsors for the Sports
Wait till the commercial break. You know, he's got to hang it up right now. What the hell? He's just flexing his management muscles. I'll march in whenever the hell I want to. I'll hang things up. Look, here's a picture of me and my wife on vacation. I thought that would look nice in the control room. I just decided to put that up. What
really
is that?
We don't have anything what is up that? In here that isn't
We're business. Radio. They don't care about each other, let alone, you know, it's they don't care about themselves.
We used to have some posters. I don't know what happened to those.
It's unbelievable. So it's just theory. I mean, I waited. Did you notice when Locke was on, I came in and talked to you about tomorrow. When did I do that? During the commercial break, so he could not berate me for stating my business. What are you talking about? Why are you talking with Mahal in the hall? That still counts if you've got the door open and you're yelling from the
I was
hall.
Trying to find out what it was, and they were like, no, we don't want to interrupt Bob's show.
Oh, yeah. So sarcasm. Ah, yeah, your Aunt Tilly. That was my dad's go-to line. Every father's got one of those. That's a father.
You've scared people away so much, they won't talk to me anymore.
Oh, you poor thing. Yeah, we're down to 75 visitors a day from our career high of 125 an hour.
I'm just saying. I feel like...
Please.
I feel like I'm your caretaker. And you're just
you know that somebody says
you're just on the porch rocking, yelling at people. I'm like, Dad, that's the pizza man. Dad, that's my girlfriend. Dad, that's oh man, I'm all by myself.
Stop. Just stop that. Just stop being that way. Although I did have yesterday five I don't normally do this, but for some inexplicable reason from the settings I was in, it was like, you want a cup of coffee? Sure. I went somewhere, you want a cup of coffee? Sure. I realized I had five cups of coffee in the space of about an hour and a half. And I
That's
was
great.
Oh, I was the Cocoa Puff bird. You think I'm nuts in here. You should have been. I mean, it was And as long as people are laughing, that's all I need. That's all the encouragement I need. I was like, we were at Mesh. We were having brunch. And I was about to go.
Good things about that place.
I was about to stand on the table and say, hello, folks. Nice to see you all here. Where are you folks from? Any birthdays in the house? How you doing? You two bald-headed men, put your heads together, make an ass of yourself. But seriously, it was, oh, I was just, I was rolling along. So I haven't had that much coffee yet. It's a good thing because I'll be honest with you. I don't understand. Why do you watch if only to try and aggravate yourself? It's like, I'm going to watch. I'm going to see all these things. And I'm going to point out all the things about the team that I supposedly root for that I hate. I hate that guy. First of all, I hate that son of a bitch. He's terrible. I can't stand that guy. The coach is no good. You know, these guards. What are you doing? Like, who else is? It's because of David Johnson? Is all this wrath over David Johnson? I mean, I find that hard to believe. He seems like he's going to be a good player. He's got nice size, and he's going to bet. I mean, seriously, if nothing else, since Chris, they kind of, when they pay you all that money, they kind of want you to win games. Why would you think if he thought that was his best chance to win games, he wouldn't play him? Run that by me. I'm curious what your theory is on that. I mean, well, let me explain to you why he won't do that. Because it's got to do with numerology. And I believe he's a Mason. And I think that's got, huh? What, I mean,
what?
Yeah, that's what I mean. What basis would it be to do that? You play the guys you think gives you the best chance to win. Nick is waving me in to land the plane, so my guess is Chris Mack has made his way to the podium.
Yes.
And here he is.
We're getting there. I thought the last two games, you know, we certainly built good leads. We got to be able to hold on to them. It's been a little bit of an issue, as you know, with our team. But, you know, the season is a long one. It's a marathon, and you can't get caught up too much and, you know, where you're at a particular point in time. You just got to worry about continually getting better. Get your guys to come to practice with a lot of energy, with that same focus, and so yeah.
Is there any common denominator that you've seen in those games where you have built big leads but then struggled?
I wouldn't say there's a common denominator. I think in certain games, what plagued us is we got a little bit greedy with our shot selection. It wasn't the case against Notre Dame. I mean, if you go back and look, and you know. You get, you know, from the outside, you say, like, what the hell's wrong? Like, how can they not hold a lead? Put the foot on the gas. And it's like the shots we were creating to start the second half, we can't get better shots. And that was an issue for us at times when we've held leads, you know, getting errant with our shot selection. Now, having said that, it'd been nice when we missed a few of the close ones, a few of the open ones, to be able to get on the offensive glass and not just be a one-and-done team on offense. Dwayne did get one, kicked it out to Jordan, gets an open shot. We'll take that look every single time. But, you know, so I wouldn't say there's a common denominator. What was really nice to see, is I said on Saturday, is our response late when things were going the wrong way for our team.
Do you feel a little comfortable with the lineup that you've been using now from start the game, finish the game, just having different guys in the rotations?
Yeah, I just want to see more consistency out of a few of our guys. You know, knowing what you get as a coach is really, really important. And, you know, at times some of our guys have been really good, gone really good, and then other times it's, you know, like a different player. And we got to be a little bit more consistent with our results. But you know, the effort, by and large, has been good on the defensive end. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it wasn't a 24-hour virus. He's been sick for, you know, quite a few days, but I think it's at the tail end, you know, now, and hopefully he's a better version of himself tomorrow night.
Malik had a big night against Pittsburgh last time out there. Have you been pleased with them lately?
I think Malik, you know, is, you know, the centerpiece of our defense. You know, I think he's a guy that always knows what's happening on the floor. He's going to battle. He plays different personnel. We can put him on a four. We can put him on a mobile five or a guy under the basket. Offensively, he's got to finish around the basket, and he's got to take good shots. And, you know, if he does that, then yeah.
Looking back on the first Pittsburgh game, Chris, what do you think enabled you to win that game?
If you're going to beat Pittsburgh, you have to be able to keep their guards out of the lane. You know, they play extremely downhill. whether it's off of a ball screen, whether it's off of isolations in space, whether it's in transition. Those two guards, I'm talking about McGowan's and Johnson, are trying to get their chest into the lane and then figure out from there what they want to do, whether that's draw a foul, finish, kick out. They'll do it all. And they're the engine for their team. They're all big. I mean, I don't even want to really respond to that question. I don't look at it that way. I don't think our players look at it that way. It's hard to win on the road in conference. So, whether we win, whether we lose tomorrow, I have zero to do with what you all perceive as a big game on Saturday.
With, Dwayne's threes and then Ryan making those two drives to the basket, those are things that they don't necessarily do most of the time, kind of more uncommon. Do you think that as the schedule goes on, you're going to have to rely on them to be able to make those types of reads more and more?
Well, I think what we have to rely on is not just Jordan. And to see Ryan step up as a fifth-year senior on the road, to see Dwayne, not even just the threes, which were obviously huge plays down the critical moments of the game, but his willingness to drive the ball, create contact, get in the lane. We need multiple threats on the floor, and it's my job to figure out how to use those guys in ways that that they can be threatening. And so that's what my goal is, to try to help our offense so that Jordan doesn't feel this immense amount of pressure to have to score 30 points for us to win.
Chris, what did you think the difference was with Ryan? He had a small pocket there where shots weren't falling and they weren't coming easy for him, but then, a little bit of a breakout.
I give Ryan all the credit in the world. No one likes, going from being a starter to coming off the bench. No one likes that. But he was very accepting of it. He's all for the team. And, he didn't play very well in the times that he was a starter down the stretch and also when he first came off the bench. But, he and I had a conversation, and I knew Ryan was all in. He came to me, which just shows his investment level. I really think it just starts with the player. What is his mindset? And Ryan, like I said, he's been through a lot of games. He's a fifth-year senior. The season means and the team means a lot to him. And so sometimes you have to have some conversations with yourself and figure out a way to be better. And he's done that.
You mentioned this about
me. I think so. I think that they're beginning to understand what ownership of the team means. The older players are going to be the guys that set the tone, that do those type of things or not. And, they've been through enough games now to know what they need to do in order to finish games, in order to be prepared for games. And so those type of moments are really good to see.
Chris, you were talking about consistency earlier. Fresh on Saturday didn't play a ton. I think it was like 21 minutes. But in the end, he made two huge plays that kind of helped. Dwayne made the two threes, but his two drives were key. Is consistency for him, because you need him on the floor at the end of the
game. Yeah, absolutely. Consistency for everybody, Jody. But, when you're specifically talking point guard position, and, we've had those conversations at this very table, it's huge for your team. And Fresh has always, for the most part, done his job on the defensive end. But offensively, he can't be a zero. And some of the plays he made down the stretch at Notre Dame when the chips were down was really good to see.
You said Ryan came to you, Chris, looking for a solution, advice, or what was your purpose?
No, he was not looking for a solution. He was not looking for any advice. He was specifically telling me, Coach, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better on defense. I'm going to be better on offense. Again, I think it's easy to say that, but when you've been around a guy for a couple of years, if he's just trying to say that so he doesn't get taken, more minutes out of his pocket or if, he has a belief that, he's going to change some things.
Chris,
Coach, it was said on the telecast that you told the guys, like, stop looking at the bench and kind of push the pace. Was that, like, game-specific or is it something you're seeing?
It was my fault. You know, earlier in the year, you know, games like Michigan. See, our team, you know, our team over the last 2 years, Marcus, has been that team that, like, you couldn't tell in the 35th minute of the game that the time and score was different from the fifth minute. You know, just an example off the top of my head. Played Duke at home last year. We're up 23 points. Guys are shooting transition threes with 9 minutes left, and it's like 4 seconds into the shot clock. And they didn't have the experience. They didn't understand that, like, hey, there's a way to play when you're winning. You know, you're up 8 points with 4 minutes. You want to take some time off the clock and execute and get a great shot. The other team's panicking. You're going to get fouled, whatever the case is. But, like, worst case scenario, we're going to go down to the other end of the floor. There's going to be 30 seconds less time on the clock and now not as many possessions. And that's how you play. Our team didn't understand that. And so there were a few games, Michigan, where it's like I'm putting on the brakes with 6 minutes to go and telling those guys, like, we're going to run this play. And this play has 5 or 6 passes. We're going to get the shot we want. And that sort of went into too many possessions over the course of too many games where my point guard's looking over at me. So it's my fault. It's his fault. So we've made a conscious effort over the last 3 or 4 games to quit looking at me. Quit looking at me. We want to play faster. We want to try to free up Ryan in transition and Jordan in transition. And, again, the more responsibility or the more freedom I give them, the more responsibility they need to have with that freedom.
Anything else for Coach?
Thanks.
Chris Mack, ladies and gentlemen, from the Lizard Lounge at the showroom at Caesars Palace, where he'll be opening for Ariana Grande in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. It was not one word of that sentence which was based in any kind of fact. That was pretty cool. That was fun. I like a conversation that evolves into, okay, you said this, I said this, and, oh, that's an interesting point. Well, you made an interesting point. And sports radio, unfortunately, has devolved. You never even took these damn things. I brought them in, and now I'm throwing them away.
No, don't do that. I was looking for those.
Pissed off about it now, so I threw them out.
Well, I'm going to get them out of the trash.
You can. Go dumpster dumping if you want, but I'm throwing it away. I have 9,000 things on my plate. They're not edible. They're little paper cups to make the things that your girlfriend was making her things for the...
Oh, it wouldn't have helped anyway. We needed the edible ones.
Well, what the hell? I mean, I have 9,000 things on my plate, the crap that I'm doing that ultimately then is of no service to anybody. What was the point? Why was I put in that position?
I didn't ask you for those. Did she ask you for those?
Someone.
Was it Mom? It was Mom.
Mom gave them to me and said, bring these to Nick. Jeanette needs these for her party, for the housewarming party.
That was very sweet.
If I forget these, because, you know, you'll run the wrath of Khan if you forget that. And then I bring them, and I leave them here, and I come in on this Monday, the party's yesterday, and they're still sitting here.
Well, I was looking for those things. Why'd you do that?
Landfill, because I want the environment to pay for your carelessness. That's how I feel about it.
Hey, all I know is I saved the world yesterday. I used environmentally friendly logs for the little bonfire we had at her little shindig. One of them was made of coffee grounds. Coffee grounds, Dad, and that son of a bitch burned like hell. See, when I prattle on about nonsense, half the time it's because Dad's distracted with the UPS jobs text line, 437-9680.
Especially their regular textures. I don't like when people are condescending. Ask a trucking question if you want to ask a question. Don't be snarky. It looks like someone at your station would figure out a way to broadcast a question and answer at a press conference after all this time. Yeah, that's what we'll do. We march in. Hey, Klein. Yeah, listen. Bob Valvano here, ESPN 68. Listen, get your trucking ass over there with this little portable microphone, or I'm telling you, we're not coming to your press conference with this Chris Muck guy anymore, all right? And he'd be like, yeah, you know what? Here's an idea. He's not in that press pass you got. Why don't you give that back and get the hell out of here? Because what exactly would you like us to do, Steve, if you think it's so simple? They do it the way they do it. What do you want from us? We broadcast it as we get it. They don't do Oprah Winfrey or Phil Donahue or the NCAA tournament where their little intern runs around with a mic and they go, John Johnson, Field and Stream. Coach, if you were a turkey, would you be scared on Thanksgiving? You know, they don't do that. So the guy asked the question, what do we take? What we can take? God almighty. That's why he's so snarky. Every clucking thing has got to be snarky. Nobody can just ask a question. Nobody can't ask a question. Has to be. It would be like going to a restaurant and going, you know, you're a restaurant. You'd think you'd have good specials. You got anything on special today? Why would you ask that? You'd say, do you have specials? What are your specials today? I think. I don't know. Maybe they do. I've never gone out with sports radio listeners. Maybe that's how they go in the thing.
I will say a couple of sports listeners have come and visited me.
Do they ask you that way?
No, they've been.
Okay, that's what I mean. So why then do you send me that?
How about you, Birdhead, right? Big fan.
Unbelievable. I mean, I just explained it to you. If you don't like the explanation, fine, then take issue with the explanation. But don't keep beating the same stupid, nonsensical point home over and over. Well, when he plays a big athletic team, Ryan, he struggles. Guess what? Yeah, there's a lot of people that struggle against Florida State's size and athleticism. He ain't the only one. But yes, he does. Okay? Why does he, is it important for him to get minutes? Because for the ninth God blank in time, he can stretch the defense like nobody else can. If you are playing against Louisville, you know, one of the things we used to do, a friend and I would do, he is a coach, he still coaches. I would ask him to come scout my team and I would scout his. And we'd say, if you were playing against us, what would you do? Okay? And one of the things you look at is you've seen this Louisville team, the way they play them is to go press up on people. Okay, so that means you're trying to create space. That's your main objective, is how do I create space for guys who can score? Jordan can score. Okay, if you don't have him on the floor, whoever's playing the off guard is a half an extra defender in the scoring area. I'm just telling you. You can say, well, no, it's not. Yes, it is, because I've watched how people play. Did you see how they played Darius early? They weren't even the same area code. I like Darius. Fine kid. Very nice young man. Fun to talk to. Quick off the dribble. Can beat you on the bounce. Has not shown that he's a consistent shooter. They ain't going to play him. Now, maybe you're one of those guys, well, if you let David Johnson shoot it 30 times, okay, well, then take that stand. I don't agree with it, but at least it's a basketball-related stand. But to point out every time the kid has a bad game, he's not a great player, okay? Sorry, Ryan, it's not a knock. You're a good player. You're a very good player, and you're a very important player for this team. That's what he is. And a texter's hit it right on the head. If he plays one good game, one really good game, you know, one blah game and two good games, one blah game and one bad game, as soon as the bad game comes, oh, see, he sucks. He can't do anything. I mean, it's just, and here's the other thing. What is it that you're so pissed off at? This reminds me of when Tubby was here and they were 13-0 or 14-0 or something. And I was listening to a call-in show and all they're doing is slicing and dicing the poor guy. And some guy finally calls in and I wonder, do you hear yourself talk? He said, well, I'm not giving up on this team yet. Well, that's, wow, what faith. They're 14-0 and you haven't given up on them. That's the kind of fanship. I mean, seriously, are you insane? So a guy sent me a text and said, you know, and it wasn't nasty, but it's just, I wonder what's going through his head. He said, it's just the ACC seems ripe for the picking this year. And gosh, Chris seems like a nice guy, but I just want to see them take advantage. They're 4-1. They've won two road games in the conference already. I mean, what would you like them to be doing exactly? And here is the other thing, and I will tell you what I think is part of it. It will go back to the Kentucky game. I don't know, maybe for the rest of the year, because they got, you know, Louisville got walloped in football, and that was a sport they usually dominated. So this was the year they were higher ranked, and the fans thought, oh, this is the year we get them in basketball at their place, and then they lose in overtime, and so people are pissed, and they've got to vent it somewhere. So I don't agree with that, but that's the explanation of it. It's not logical. Your criticism of the team is filtered through illogic, but okay. But they also like when a guy looks pissed off. They like that about Rick, at least. Sometimes it was, you know, if there had been video somehow sneaked out, I think, of when the team got back to campus, you know, from the Kentucky game, and Chris Mack, as the guys got off the bus, verbally berating all of them, maybe even punching a couple in the neck, you know, people would be like, ah, that's the kind of spirit we want. And I think to myself, let me think back. One of the knocks on Rick and one of the knocks on every coach that has been highly emotional. And I'll defend both sides of it because you coach your personality. But all I know is John Wooden made a great point, and people would celebrate. Oh, the excellence of UCLA was rooted in the fact that his team didn't get two up or didn't get two down. They kept a level, an even keel, and they tried to commit to a level of excellence, and they played that way. And people are jumping on the bandwagon now for Joe Crispin. That's the guy's name. Half the people don't even know his name. And he's credible, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying he could have been the guy who was the head chef at Food Network, and as long as he said what they wanted to hear, they would have jumped on. And he was talking, do you have that Crispin cut? You said you had it before. I know produce is in there distracting you.
We're venting about things.
Okay. About what I'm talking about or venting about other things?
Everything. Just a whole lot of life is going on back here. Okay. What do you want?
Yeah, try and pay attention. I got to do the whole segment again. Joe Crispin.
Oh, yeah. No, we got that.
Okay.
I got that soundbite. You want that soundbite? I got that soundbite. All right. Just for you.
Let's hear it.
Son of a bitch.
Nick just broke the mic. Literally just broke the microphone. It is hanging down. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, we just got to put the screw back in.
Wow.
What a pain in the ass.
All right, play the thing and let...
Turn the mic off.
No, can we do this with the mic on? It might be hilarious.
No, it's not hilarious. I want to hear the God blank and cut. Play the damn thing. There we go. This dead air brought to you by Jablonski's Funeral Home.
I'm trying to find the pulse, right? And I feel like it's a resting heartbeat. That's what this team is. Follow the analogy if I'm making any sense. Gotcha. It's a resting heartbeat, but it needs to be running 20 miles an hour on the treadmill. Like, that's what I mean. You're held to a higher standard. You have to match the effort with your expectations. The expectation for this team should be high. And I'm raising my voice because I'm frustrated when I watch this team. They're much better than they play. And I think this is a team that has Final Four potential, but not Final Four effort, not Final Four toughness. And there are some things that they could do, and I'm not sure what brings it out. Do losses bring it out? You know, Yoda even said it, a great teacher failure is. Like, it is. If you fail enough, you're going to figure out who you really are. But this is a team that is good enough where they keep finding a way. They squeak through these games. This is one they should have won by 20 because the talent is there.
Okay, so let me get this straight, Mr. Crispin, who played at Penn State. So they are currently 4-1 and 11th in the country, and they basically, by your criteria, it's kind of stink. And the fans loved it. Loved it. They loved it because it reinforces the narrative that they had at the beginning of the year, which was, hey, this team is ranked in the top five. The ACC seems down. They should just be steamrolling it. They're 13-3, 4-1 in the league. They're one game behind the third-ranked team in the country in Duke, and people are pissed off because they don't show enough emotion. Now, I don't want to dismiss it completely, but I do want to clarify it. Chris actually, in a bizarre way, would agree with you on some things. Because what he has talked about for a long time is the toughness to bounce back when things are, you know, Lou Holtz, no, it wasn't Lou. I keep quoting Lou Holtz, and it wasn't him that said it. It was Bill Walsh who said it. He told his staff, I can only, you know, the players have to know one thing. I can only promise you one thing. Something is going to go wrong out there today. And what will define our success is how well we deal with that adversity. John Thompson used to say that at Georgetown. Everybody can be great when things are rolling their way. What do you do when things get struggly, to make my own word up? That's what's what do you do with adversity comes your way? Every team has some adversity. Every team has something that comes their way that challenges them. Okay? This team, rather than understanding that they are, for fans, that they are not a perfect team. There are no perfect teams in the country. And they're playing against guys in this league with brilliant coaches. These are among the best coaches. There's more Hall of Fame coaches in this league than has ever been in any league in existence. Okay? These are guys know what the hell they're doing.
Fixed it.
Okay? So sometimes you get in a situation where you're not going to be playing at the same level. Okay. The question is, do you have the wherewithal to play through that? I think Chris would say he'd like to see them be tougher in that regard. But that's not what fans are talking about. They want to see them get pissed. We lost to Kentucky. Kick somebody's teeth in. I had somebody send me a text on that. I want to see a brawl. Really? First of all, if you do, something's wrong with you, sorry to say. And secondly, That's not going to make you a better basketball team. And Chris is smart enough to know that. And if you don't want to trust the radio host, then trust John Wooden, because that's what John Wooden said. What was the key to their success is the fact that they committed to play at a high level day in and day out, and they didn't let their emotions take them up, because every time you have an emotion take you way up, it takes you way down. And I think Chris is smart enough to know that that's not the way he wants to do it. Rick thrived on that. And so if you like that better, that's fine. But to imply that this is somehow a wrong way is foolish. It may not be the way. If you had a team, you could have them all over the map. But, you know, you could be kill. You want to see a guy come in and pull frogs' heads off at halftime. First of all, that ship has sailed. But secondly, even if you didn't believe that that ship has sailed, there's credible coaches and people who understand that there's that's not the only way to do it. And I will go you one better. I think the young guys coaching, the Brad Stevens, the Chris Max, get that that doesn't, in fact, it's probably counterproductive. It's very hard to recruit that way. Kids don't want to play for a raging maniac anymore. They don't care what your credentials are. They don't care about you that way. They want to know what kind of, you know, how are you going to help me be a better player? And that's what he's trying to do. Now, having said that, can they be tougher? Sure they can. But this talk of gloom and doom, and I like Joe Crispin, but he fed right into it because the people writing in the show, like they're massively struggling. If you look at this league right now, Duke, Florida State, and Louisville are the three halves. And you could say, well, that's why I mean the league is down a little bit. Okay, but that's the whole point. Even when this league is so good, even when it's down, it's still good. It's the fourth best league in the country. And if you already, 5 games into a 20-game season, literally one quarter of the season, have put yourself in a position where most people look at this and go, wow, there's some separation there between those three and everybody else. That's a pretty good deal, number one. Number two, every time you win a game, it's not figure skating. You know, it's nice Joe says they should have won this game by 20 or 30. Okay, whatever. The fact of the matter is, I've been around this league a long time, longer than he has, as a matter of fact, and that's not how this league works. You know, you get a road win in this league, it's like sex, man. There's very few things in the world better. And I don't care, well, Notre Dame's down. It is, every place is packed. Every arena is, well, for the most part, except maybe like Boston College. And the BC's has a decent team this year. They're 3-2, 9-7. I'm just looking at this and saying, look, if you want to have intelligent conversation, I'd like to see them do this better. Fine. Great. But this gloom and doom thought, and it's all rooted in the Kentucky game. All in the Kentucky game. Because that's when the narrative changed. And to me, it's ridiculous. I could go out tomorrow and find 340 coaches in the country who'd say, could I sign up to be 13-3 and 4-1 in the ACC and 11 in the country? I'd like that, please. Where do I sign up for that? In a second year. Keep in mind, I don't like this discussion? Because it puts me in a position I don't want to be in, which is, I think Rick Pitino is as brilliant as anybody, deserving of the Hall of Fame. He treated me great. I always give that disclaimer because there's always a chance somebody's tuned in, hasn't listened to the show before, and says, what is this guy, Pitino hater? Absolutely not. But the fact of the matter, how many years had Rick been here before they got into the ACC? And so he was able to recruit his players. He'd built a powerhouse in another power league in the Big East, and they came in, and his first 2 years in the league are no better than Chris's. And Chris came into a situation that you may say, oh, yeah, give me the yeah buts. Yeah, but it was regarded as a dumpster fire. Sorry, I don't mean to disrespect the players who were here, but guys left. There weren't very many guys here. They didn't have a chance to recruit. And he came in and made the tournament last year. And this year has got them 11th in the country. And, I mean, you know, take your pick for why you want to give him credit. I said they recruited really well. They did. The fact of the matter is the freshmen are not really making huge contributions. If that frustrates you, okay. But the fact is they're not, because they're not able to play as effectively as the guys they're playing behind. And I know recruiting people love that. Oh, my God, you get all moist over, he's a 4-star, he's a 3-star, he's a this. But the fact of the matter is, until you get them on the practice floor, you don't know. It doesn't mean they're going to be busts, but he's playing the guys that give him the best chance to win. And they're showing it. And so, okay, so he's not a good recruiter. All right, well, then you got to give him credit for being a great coach then, because he took the same guys who were here, less Dangadel, less Quentin Snyder, less Ray Spalding, and got them to the tournament last year, and he's got basically the same crew this year. I know they had CeCe last year, and they've got Fresh Kimball, but by and large, the same core, and they're in the top 11 in the country. So take your pick. Just be logical. He's a great recruiter, and he brought in all great people that have turned things around, or he's a great teacher. But the fact is, he came into what was regarded as a program that was way down, and they're 4-1 in the ACC. They've won two road games already in the league. They're 13-3 overall. What do you want? You wanted them to beat UK, is what you wanted. And so it's tinged every other discussion. And you can't let sports make you stupid. You shouldn't. You can't. Because the fact of the matter is, when you look at it by any objective measure, the league is, and the country has no dominant teams, and that's another thing. What is the distress over that? I don't get it. Enjoy the journey, man. You got a lot of teams that are a lot of good teams, very few great teams. Every night you tune it in. When's the last time you expected to see a competitive game between Clemson and North Carolina? Well, they were. Yeah, UConn, Wichita State, double overtime in Connecticut last night, right after Wichita State, had that great win the other day at their place. It's any given night now. What's so bad about that? Why is that so bad? You don't like the fact that now Georgia Tech might actually win some games because you've already decided that Josh Pastner is a horse's ass, or that Clemson could beat North Carolina. Believe me, for the fifth time, I'm observing. I'm not berating Louisville fans because go to the chat. There we almost said it again, the chat rooms. Go to the message boards, the fan sites. Carolina, oh, Roy Williams should be fired. Yeah, unbelievable. You know what? I told him, I saw him last summer, don't eat the stupid pills. But no, he was in the buffet and he just kept filling his plate up with the stupid pills. And now he doesn't have great players. You want to fault them for not having a great recruiting year? It happens. But if he had Cole Anthony, they'd be pretty damn good. He's probably the best player in the whole potential draft. It's just trying to keep, have an intelligent analysis of the team. And would you enjoy the journey more? I do. They're not flawless. They're not flawless. And they do need to be tougher. They certainly do need to be tougher in certain situations. But their commitment, I never see them get down. I've been to a handful of practices. I've never seen them have to beg them to practice. They come ready to work. They care about each other. They listen. They're learning. I've seen them get better individually. I've seen them get better collectively. Are they perfect? They don't have big guards. They don't have a collection of guards who all can shoot the ball. So you coach to what you have. And if all you do is point out the things that they are not, first of all, you're going to drive yourself crazy. But much more importantly, you're not really analyzing what's going on with the team. Yes, Ryan McMahon will have a harder time with big, tall, athletic guards than he will with smaller, non-athletic guards. But what's that got to do with anything? That's who they are. So now they got to figure out a way to play with the guys that they've got. And why does he get minutes? Then, okay, let's analyze that. Because he stretches the defense. And you need to stretch the defense to give Enoch room to work inside, give Jordan room to work. Jordan has a middle game, remember. He's not just a three-point shooter. Give Sutton a chance to get back on track. He was playing really well offensively. Now he struggled a little bit. Now he's got a chance to get it back on track. So, what... It's just incredible to me the conversation path that gets taken. This has been, I'm enjoying watching them. They're a good group of kids who are working hard. They unless something drastic happens, they should be a double bye in the ACC tournament, and then there's no guarantee what's going to happen from there. Because I don't look at this team and say, they should squash people. All due respect to Joe Crispin. I get his point. He wants to see a little more fire, and fans want to see it. Because they're mad. Damn it, we lost to Kentucky. Kick a chair or choke a turkey or something. But do something that gets.
That almost sounded really dirty. I'm not saying I'm not really taking it.
Lost the entire text line, by the way.
You lost it?
Yeah.
All right, well, while you're pulling that.
Okay. Hey, that should be on the text.
Come on.
There we go.
For me and Process, we fixed the microphone. It is sturdy. I'm yanking this.
I'm glad you're excited. That'll be on the mixtape.
Yep. But that, I did that one kind of on purpose. Okay. But is it fair, though, a criticism that they've had a hard time getting it together as a team? Against their more elite competition, like the I mean, the Texas Tech and the Florida State. I'm posing the question.
I'm answering your question. Okay, it's a very simple answer.
All right.
And do you think teams have a harder time with really good teams than teams that aren't really good?
That's
That's
okay. But I'm just saying.
I'm gonna guess. Yeah.
I'm just saying. What seems to be the problem there?
In that terms those teams are better.
Okay, I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying like he was talking about the team not having a fire and everything like that. And collectively, as a team, there seems to be like certain components will play big, and then certain components will just be invisible. Why? I mean, the Florida State game, Jordan played terrific. The rest of the team was kind of flat. The UK game, the rest of the team, or some of them, Fresh comes to mind, played pretty well. Their star player was not there. Collectively, I'm not saying that there needs to be all this doom and gloom and everything along those lines, but I do think that some of the more rational fan base have kind of pointed to that as a criticism. And you're around the team more than anybody. I just wanted to get your two cents.
I'm stunned. When I moved here, these are sophisticated fans. Okay, let me see if I can give you some supporting evidence.
Also, new AP rankings coming out. Just want to give those while you're looking that up. That came out about noon last week. It was U of L over UK by a position. This week, UK's over U of L by a position. UK coming in at 10th, Louisville at 11th, Gonzaga holding on to the number one spot despite losing. Baylor jumping to number two in the land from four last week. So just a couple of notes. Some other locals. Indiana, I guess you could say, is the 28th team or the 29th team in the land. They did receive 50 AP votes. So there you go. Just a couple of nuggets, the new AP polls.
Okay. I'm picking a random guy. I did not know what I would find when I picked him, but he's averaging 23 points a game. So you would think, boy, he's a pretty good player, right? Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins, in the space of five games, okay? He shot 23% from the field, then 60% from the field, then 46% from the field, then 31% from the field, then 21% from the field. Five games. In a space of, 14 days. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 23%, 60, 46, 31, and 21. Because they're not computer players. They're not video games. They're people. Some of it has to do with the level of competition. He shot 23% against Houston. Houston's pretty good. He shot 60% against Portland. Portland is not as good. Portland has a losing record. So, I mean, it's why is it so dumbfounding to people? They're not little computer players. They're people. Coach, here to me is an interesting conversation. That's to me. Maybe it's not to you. Instead of focusing on what, for example, Ryan can't do against the Miguel Gods, because it's ridiculous they keep dumping on this kid. I'm not even saying that respectfully. It's ridiculous. Okay? Ridiculous. Okay? But the beauty is you have four guards, all of whom do different things. That's what coaching does. Unless you have a great player, chances are he's going to have nights where he's better against certain competition than others. Andrew Wiggins is a pretty damn good player. I mean, you know, he's averaging 23 points a game in the NBA, and he's had a shooting percentage difference of 40% difference between over the space of 2 weeks. He had two games in the 20s, one game at 60, one game at 46. Well, that's because that's how basketball works. Now, if you want to analyze the team, what you look at and say, why I like Louisville is because they have an opportunity to play around that. If Darius can't get around his man, then maybe it's a day where the perimeter shooting is available and Ryan can make perimeter shots. If they're closing out on people, maybe Darius gets in the lane. Maybe that's a game where David gets in the lane. When he gets in the lane, he can carry the ball to the rim. He's impressive doing that. But they're not any of them great enough players where they're going to do that every night against any level of competition. And if you're just going to see it that way, just get a running start and slam your head into the wall. Because that's – now Jordan, you expect, is going to come close. He's a great player. He may be the player of the year in the country. Doesn't mean he doesn't have things he's got to get better at. Doesn't mean sometimes he sets the tone. I've said this. He's gotten better at it. I've watched him, but he does not sometimes – you ever watch a defensive lineman? He gets blocked and he gets knocked down, and you watch the replay and you say, my God, they absolutely like almost pancaked that guy, and he bounced back up, pursued the play, and made the tackle on the far sideline. Jordan always doesn't always have that. Jordan comes off one screen, and if he's not free, he tends to drift. And his answer to most things is, I'll step further and further away because he's got such tremendous confidence in his range. I'll just keep backing up. Now, I noticed this last game he did more of that. He made a cut, wasn't there, made a second cut. He's got a good mid-range game. He got in the lane, and he could create some shots around the basket. Now, again, Notre Dame's not super big and athletic, so maybe he was able to do that. But also, Ryan was making shots, so there was room for him in there. So that's how you look at a team. That's why Florida State's pretty good. They're long, they rebound, and they don't rely on one guy to score. I mean, the guy who killed Louisville that night, Walker, had 10 threes all year. He made 5 against Louisville. And if you ask Leonard, he's like, yeah, he's capable of doing that. But, you know, he hasn't. We haven't asked him to do that so far this year. The game has not dictated that he do that. Plus, the games he's had the chance, he hasn't shot that well. But he's capable of doing it. So those are good teams, teams that don't just have an option A. They got an option B, an option C. This team has that. That, to me, is good. The toughness part, okay, maybe they're not as pissed off as you want them to be. All I know is they were down 14 or whatever it was at Kentucky and came all the way back in that game in as hostile an environment as you're going to face all year. That showed. And Chris went out of his way to say that. He said last year's team wouldn't have done that. They would have been licking their wounds a little bit, felt sorry for themselves, and the game would have been over. Notre Dame, I'll be honest with you. When Louisville had that big league, Notre Dame at home, place was pretty close to sold out, even though the students weren't there, took a 5-point lead. At that point, you have every excuse to say, oh, we had them on the ropes and they got away. And instead, they came back again. So, I mean, I don't know. Does he want guys ripping their shirts off, dropping their drawers? I mean, what does he want? I don't know. But the fans loved it. Loved it. Because, I'm telling you, I still think it goes back to they didn't look as angry as you were about losing to Kentucky. I wanted to see some anger. I wanted to see guys, you know, throwing equipment out of the bus on the way back from Lexington trying to make cars wreck or something. Who cares if you kill a guy or two? It's worth it to show how pissed off you are. I mean, seriously, it comes down to that. And Chris, you know, to be honest with you, I've never completely understood that either. I do understand it if you think your players – I'm not happy about this. We were playing in Europe. And we were playing against men. I had my little Division III college team. We were on a European tour. We were playing against one of the pro teams there. So these guys are like 29, 30-year-old guys. And they literally were beating the blank out of my players. Just, and I was like, I said, ref, you got to, oh, man. And I talked to the guy and talked to the guy and talked to the guy. And then the second half, I mean, they just, it looked like an American football game. And I was like, that's it. We're done. It's an exhibition game. We're leaving. And I took them off the floor. It's the only time I've ever done that. But I said, I have an obligation to these kids. They're in my care, and you're not going to protect them by the rules. We got to get out of here. So I'm saying, so if you see a guy gets a T and he's up there having a tirade because he's defending his guys, okay. But just because they're playing badly and he loses his mind, that accomplishes very little. And the coaches are starting to understand that. You can motivate guys without losing your mind. And this team doesn't lose their mind very much because they reflect their coach. And I don't know, John Wooden would say that's a good thing. And instead, he's got to defend himself, which to me seems strange. It seems very odd. The greatest, you know, winningest championship coach ever, and he's saying the beauty of his program was they didn't get up, down. They stayed within themselves, and that's what this guy's committed to. So, I mean, I understand what Joe's saying. I don't know, Joe, that's great that people think they're that good that they can just come out and steamroll people. But I'll be honest with you. If you've watched every day, they're really good and have a chance to be as good as anybody in the country. But they're not just, let's roll the balls out and start stomping people and take names. Where is that coming from exactly? They still do incredibly silly things at times, and that's part of the game, the mental side. They go through stretches where if teams are in Ryan's jock and not letting him get a shot, and Jordan's not sure, who else is shooting? I'm the president of the Duane Sutton fan club. By the way, you listeners out there, your dues are due, your membership dues. I mean, because I absolutely, love the kid. But he went through a stretch. He couldn't throw it in the ocean from the boat, as the cliche goes. And, you know, he got back last night. Maybe his confidence is back. Confidence is an incredible thing. But there are stretches where you look back and you go, where are they actually scoring from? You know, other teams, would get a rhythm going offensively, and that happens, and they don't change defenses a lot. And if you want to get mad at that, that's fine. But I think what Chris would say, as I've told you, is he goes by the 75 red wheels on the roulette table theory. The best way for us to stop you is to play this defense well. And if you – it's tossing – you know, as I said, you, if you took a – here's a bet. I have a six-sided die here. I'm going to roll it. Would you like a bet that it comes up between 1 and 5 or comes up 6? Unless you're a complete idiot, of course you'll take the 1 through 5 bet. Well, sometimes you roll it, it might be 6. And it might be 6 again. And it might be 6 a third time. And fans go nuts. Well, bet 6, damn it. No, his point is our best chance to stop you is still to bet the 1 through 5. And that's what they do. And it makes sense. That's the whole point. Is it the only way to do it? No, but it makes sense. That's the part that I get mad when you rather than try and understand the logic behind what's going on, you just say, well, here's another way to do it. Therefore, he's an idiot. No, there's a lot of different ways to do it. Bob Knight never played a possession of zone. Hall of Fame, national champion. Jim Boeheim has played all zone. National champion, Hall of Fame. Is one an idiot? No. They're just two different ways to do it. We have to take an ID. We have to come back. And we got so many texts. If I read them all through the last 2 hours of the show, we probably still wouldn't get them all on. But I'll do the best I can. But the fact of the matter is, good win at Notre Dame. A challenging game at Pitt, which everybody wants to write off. You win road games in this league. If they get 3 road wins before we've gotten to the middle of January, step up and take a bow, boys. I don't care which teams they are. That's impressive. We'll come back. ESPN 681.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.